Kyle Porter. Before we get to the podcast today, with myself and Carson Cunningham, wanted to let you know that we're still looking for a sponsor. This is our fifth episode of the fall. We're planning on taping at least one, if not two, a week. And we've got some fun guests lined out for the next couple weeks. We talk about one of them at the end of this podcast. But if you are interested in sponsoring, give us a shout, pistolsfiringblog@gmail.com, and we can get you more information on that. And now let's get you to episode five.
Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. After OSU just dismantles UTSA, my voice is not sounding too well after that, and mainly allergies more so than the game, Kyle.
No cheering in the press box? Were you caught cheering too loudly on Saturday?
No, I was bored by the second half. They beat up on them so bad. But no, I'm dealing with some allergies. I think it's like my body knows I'm going to go to Austin, Texas this weekend for the OSU game. So it's like rebooting me right now before I go down there.
Are you day to day? Are you probable for this weekend? What's the status?
It's an afternoon game, so I should be okay. If it was 11 a.m., I'd be a game time decision. So I think we'll be okay. But what'd you think of the game on Saturday?
Well, how surprised were you by Oklahoma State scoring 14 points in under 2 minutes? I mean, that just it felt like just a throwback, really. That was how the teams, in 2010, 11, even 13, played and scored.
Yeah, it was surprising, but it's what I asked. The whole game, like everything I asked for, happened. Like I went on the Sports Animal and I said they need to force some turnovers or else they can retire the "we're taking it back" hashtag forever if they don't get a turnover. And I wanted to see them have a 100-yard rusher in Chris Carson. So it was just it was everything. Like I said, if they were going to play poorly for the third game in a row, then you can really say they got problems. You know, we talked a lot about how much do you make of Central Arkansas and all these games they've played so far. But if they didn't come out and play well against UTSA after playing poorly in the previous 2 weeks, that would have been a big red flag. So I thought they really delivered.
Yeah, I thought so too. It's interesting because it's weird to look at these things because you look at like season-long production of, say, turnovers forced, and you might have a team that forces, say, three turnovers a game. But if you get all of them in one game, it doesn't really help you for the whole season. And so I'm sort of not afraid, but like I want to see like two or three turnovers forced a game consistently for Oklahoma State and not seven in one game versus like 1-0 in the others.
Yeah, you don't want it to be stacked like that. And I thought most of the turnovers they had were not flukes. They forced them. So that's encouraging moving forward against Texas. So, you know, they weren't just guys just, well, I guess they did a couple where they snapped it over the UTSA guy's head. But for the most part, they did a good job forcing those, and Glenn Spencer was certainly happy afterwards.
Yeah.
Did you hear some of the quotes from him before, like, the game, like, where congratulations can become condemnations?
I
would run through a wall for Glenn Spencer.
You
let
could
own these players.
You could print anything, and I would believe that he said it. I really would. Like he is, like he uses the word poison more than like a chemist. It's unbelievable how much he uses the word poison talking about, you know, the things in the media that become poisonous and all this. It's great. I love it.
He's like a mix between like Maximus from Gladiator, William Wallace, and like William Shakespeare. I mean, it's easy to see why these players would like run through a wall for him, isn't it?
Yeah, I think it was Jimmy Bean last week. He did a one-on-one with Brandon Chapman of ESPN and said, "I'll do anything for Glenn Spencer. Like literally, I will do anything for him." So it's pretty cool.
He's done an incredible job. He really has. On a scale from 1 to Dana Holgorsen, how distraught would you be if he left for a head coaching job?
It wouldn't be great. You could maybe move Mike Yurcich over to the defensive side since he has shown an inability to get the ball in the end zone at times. So maybe that would play better for the defense.
How was Shippensburg's defense, by the way?
I don't think they were very good. I do think for all the flack that Yurcich takes, I thought the Oklahoma State offense was pretty good on Saturday. You know, it's interesting and I was looking at the drive chart, and I think Oklahoma State had 14 total drives. 9 of them produced like 510 yards total. The other 5 produced 25 yards total. So it's all or nothing. Like it's really either 3 and out or you're going to score a touchdown. And I don't know. I don't know. How do you?
I thought the turnovers really kind of skewed things. I mean, you give them a short field, they're going to score against UTSA. If they have to go 80 yards every single drive, I think they would have had a lot less success. And there's still some issues with running the football. Now, they did get the running game going, so to speak, but when they needed like a couple yards down in the red zone, they really couldn't get it without Walsh coming in and doing some trickery. And that to me is still pretty concerning moving forward. But it was an improvement for sure, but I still think they got some issues.
Well, it was interesting to listen to Yurcich after the game, because he talked about, and Gundy mentioned this too, about how the safeties for UTSA were playing further back and really they weren't pressed up as much as Central Arkansas and Central Michigan. And so it's like, if you know that, like if you knew that, and this goes back to the first two games, like why are you trying to just run it down their throats in the first couple of games? Like I don't, like that doesn't give me a ton of confidence in your, and I think this is where Todd Monken was so good in in-game adjustments, in like understanding what's going on during the game and switching to what you need to switch to, and not. Like, I feel like Yurcich is sometimes just so tied to his pre-game plan, you know, and it just, I don't know, it doesn't flow like it should. Does that make sense?
No, I totally does. And I guess I'm hopeful that, like, do you remember, was it 2 years ago they smoked Baylor at home? Was that the game?
Like, 2013. Yeah, the night game, yeah.
I'm hopeful that in the non-conference, Yurcich and Gundy were just very conservative, and when they go to Texas on Saturday, they're going to just do stuff they haven't done all year. Like, if that happens, I think we probably should owe them a reprieve for how they've looked on offense so far. I'm expecting them to really come out and play like that Baylor game where they were throwing the kitchen sink at Baylor. If they don't, and they're running, you know, draws and zone reads up the middle on second and third down or on every single first down, then I'm going to be pretty disappointed. But I think there's a glimmer of hope for OSU fans, I think, in that they haven't truly opened it up yet.
Yeah, I just don't think it's going to happen. I really don't, because I think that you've seen, and Yurcich has talked about this, like he's keyed in on Rudolph protecting the ball, and Rudolph has mentioned it. I feel like it's drilled into him. And I think that that's sort of a Gundy philosophy of let's let our defense win games. And I don't think it's necessarily wrong. I mean, that's what happened in 2013. And because of all the turnovers, you end up scoring, you know, sometimes 40 or 50 a game. But you're not going to score 40 or 50 a game with your offense alone. I'm not necessarily opposed to it. It's just, I don't know. I don't think they're going to open it up. Like maybe they do later in the year, but I would be surprised if we saw that much different out of the offense on Saturday.
We'll see. I mean, I thought the most interesting thing Gundy said was we're not good enough to just run the ball at will or throw the ball at will. So yeah, that kind of goes against me saying, well, throw the ball and you'll be able to run a little better, but
yeah, but that's not taking into account if a defense is, you know, what they are or aren't giving. He's just saying like straight up, I certainly agree with that. What do you think of Rudolph? That was the first time that you'd seen him in person at Boone Pickens, I guess. Was he impressive? You were down on the field.
Yeah, I mean, I'm the guy that says, like, take the handcuffs off. Like, this guy can be trusted. That's why I don't understand why Yurcich and them are trying to get him to not turn the ball. I think he's proven he doesn't turn the ball over. I mean, the guy.
Do you know what his completion percentage is?
It's got to be high. Now, part of that's throwing it side to side. But it's probably, what, 70%?
He's 67 for 90 this year.
What's that math?
I don't do
math anymore.
I have no idea. It's like right under 70, I think.
I got into TV, so I don't have to do math anymore, ever. 67 of 90?
Yeah, I think it's like 68% or 69% or something.
74%.
74%?
Yeah.
Wow, that's embarrassing.
According to my iPhone, that's what it is.
That's, yeah, I'm glad I use words and not numbers for a living.
This guy is one of the best quarterbacks in the Big 12. Like, throw it around. Let him do it. I mean, take the reins off.
Well,
my gosh.
What do you think about this? I was thinking about this today. I'm probably going to write something on it, but the Big 12, and Barry Trammell wrote this, I think, interestingly, is going to be an offense-first league this year. And that's not like a deviation from its historical standard. But I feel like last year it wasn't, other than Baylor and TCU, it wasn't as great offensively. But we saw Texas put up 44 against Cal. OU's clearly talented on offense. I feel like there's going to be a lot of shootouts this year in the Big 12. And the defenses, I mean, TCU's defense is just, I mean, they're losing like a guy every day. OU's defense has not looked great, especially against Tulsa. They did against Tennessee. But I feel like with all these offenses that are playing so well, OSU can kind of go the other way and say, hey, we've got a great defense. That's how we're going to beat you. What do you think about that?
I do think that. But I'm with you. I think the league's so much better on offense. Like, Patrick Mahomes at Texas Tech is a really good quarterback. Like, the quarterback play has jumped back to what we've been used to seeing in the Big 12. So even though OSU is better on defense, I don't know if you can just rely on that in this league, especially with the quarterback play. I mean, Mahomes, Baylor, Boykin, Baker Mayfield, like, every week you're facing a pretty capable quarterback for the most part. So it'll definitely give OSU a leg up if they're as good as we think they are on defense. But we still don't know. I mean, they haven't played anybody that can really test them yet.
Yeah, I think this weekend is going to be fascinating because, I mean, this Hurd kid, I mean, I think he's the real deal. Like, granted, one game and Cal's not like, you know, Michigan State, but it's pretty impressive to put up 530 yards of total offense, you know, set a freshman record. And I think that, you know, Glenn Spencer said it well, like he's going to create so many problems because he can run it. And that's something that the kid from Central Michigan ran it a little, but he wasn't a runner. Like he just ran over Ramon Richards. That's it. And, I don't know. I think this weekend's going to be I'm not as confident as some Oklahoma State fans are.
How many extra miles did Gundy run around campus this week once he found out that Texas has a quarterback now? Just in time for him.
Well, it's so frustrating, too, because it's like, you play him last week and you beat him, right? Like,
Tyrone Swoops is Chance Mock. And Gerard Hurd is young Vince getting thrust into the lineup. What were they thinking starting Tyrone Swoops over this kid?
I forgot about Chance Mock. Wow, what a reference. I wonder
everyone in the world knew Chance Mock shouldn't be playing, but for some reason he was. Same with Gerard Hurd sitting behind, you know, Tyrone Swoops. So that's why Sean Watson got fired. I mean, let's be honest. That's why they have a new offensive coordinator. So
yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a good test. I mean, anytime you go to Austin, it's not easy to win. So I'm interested to see what this offense can do down at Texas. Now, Texas has lost some guys, too. They're down to, like, six linebackers total.
Yeah. And Jenny Carlson wrote something. They've given up, like, over 220 on the ground every game they've played this year. And, that's not – I don't know. If I'm an Oklahoma State fan, I am an Oklahoma State fan. That doesn't really – that didn't do a lot for me because that's not a strength necessarily of Oklahoma State. So it's like – well, maybe you'll look okay, but are you really going to be able to take advantage of a poor run defense? It doesn't really seem like it.
I mean, if they can't run against Texas, wouldn't that be discouraging? I don't know.
Yeah,
I
mean, it would.
Chris Carson looked pretty – I thought Chris Carson looked great against UTSA.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's just really good. Like,
he's what they have – they haven't had a guy like that since Randall. As solid as Desmond Rowland was – he was not a Chris Carson. He didn't have the burst. He's not a 1,000-yard back, so to speak.
No, Roland was like a I mean, if we're grading him, he was like a B minus, like as a college running back. Like he was good. He's, you know, maybe a little bit above average, maybe average. But I mean, do you think Chris Carson's as good as Joseph Randall? Joseph Randall was outstanding.
No, I don't think he's that good. Like Joseph Randall was like playing like really well as a true freshman. Like remember those catches he would make out of the backfield?
Yeah.
He was an incredible player. So he's not on that level, but he can run for 1,000 yards, which they haven't had since him.
I heard a great story one time about Brandon Whedon talking to somebody and then kind of asking him about who the best running backs he had played with were. And, you know, they said, because he played with Hunter and then he played with Randall, and he said it's not even close. Like, as good as Kendall Hunter was, and clearly he's played in the NFL for 4 or 5 years now, said it's not close. Like Randall was that good, and for that offense he was. I'd be interested to see OSU maybe throw it more to Chris Carson, like out in the flats.
I could be down for. I don't know if I agree with Brandon. I'm not sure.
Really?
I mean, so you're talking like complete back? Yes. Like Randall was such a good receiver. People forget. Like Gundy used to say he had the best hands on the team, and that was a team with Justin Blackmon on it. Like they said he never dropped a pass. Any practice. So if you're talking like the whole package, I'd probably give Randall the nod. But as far as just running back, like, do you remember the game at Nebraska that OSU finally beat Nebraska the first time in forever? They had Dantrell Savage as a starting running back who was really good that no one remembers anymore. But they put Hunter in, and he was getting like 20 yards a carry.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Everyone was looking around like, who is that?
Yeah.
And why doesn't he get the ball? And then he took off and had a great career. But Kendall Hunter was exceptional. So I don't. That'd be a tough argument.
Yeah, well, and they were different offenses.
But they haven't had either of those. They haven't had a guy of that quality, either Hunter or Randall, since Randall left.
So no.
I think Carson.
I agree.
Could be in the discussion before he leaves. We'll see. He needs some help. I mean, Randall had a lot better offensive line too. So.
Yeah, he did.
Speaking of Whedon, what'd you think?
Oh boy.
The Dallas Cowboys game.
So
what an atrocity that game was, by the way.
Well, I watched the second. I didn't even care about the game. I was just I'm not really that into the NFL. Like I just pay.
I'm not either.
So much of my attention goes to college football, college basketball, and golf that I'm like I just can't get into this. You know. I mean, whatever.
Yeah, I don't have a team. The only reason I really follow it is I do fantasy stuff. So, but like I don't like get nearly as excited on Sunday as I do Saturday.
Yeah. But the Whedon thing, so let's talk about this. So I put all my blog posts on Facebook, right? Like I just throw them on our Pistols Firing page and people can see them in their feed or whatever. Usually they get, I don't know, a couple hundred clicks. Maybe a good one will get 600 or 700 or, you know, whatever. Posted this quick story about Whedon, you know, throwing a touchdown, taking over for Romo. 11,000 clicks.
Whoa.
And it's like, I think it's partly because it was kind of a novelty because he doesn't play that much. But also I think people are just, I mean, the NFL is, I forget how much bigger than college football it is because my world is so much college football that I don't know. I forget about the NFL. It's crazy.
Well, but also too, is there a more beloved OSU player than Brandon Whedon?
Well, and to match him up with the Dallas Cowboys, who
it's like a perfect click storm.
Yeah, if you took a poll of Oklahoma State fans, they'd be, I mean, the Cowboys would pretty clearly be the favorite team of OSU fans, right?
Absolutely.
Like, it's probably not close. Like, it'd probably be like 75%.
No, and I think people are so, like, OSU fans are so, like, they've had to put up with such hate and vitriol towards Whedon as a pro quarterback that they like it's like one of their own, you know, like it's like their kid, like they want to know all there is to know about him and they want to support him in any way they can, so like they you know what I'm saying, like they're on that island, they're on Whedon Island, and
yeah,
they don't want anybody to try and, you know, take it over or whatever.
Yeah, no, it's great. I'm Dallas Cowboys beat reporter now, so I'll add that to my Twitter profile.
Well, I was like slipping off into a third dimension because he had Sam Bradford and DeMarco Murray lining up against Joseph Randle and Brandon Weeden. Like, could we not have flown Justin Blackmon in at halftime to suit up for the Cowboys? They needed a receiver.
The Eagles should have signed Broyles at in the third quarter.
They should have just, like, suited up and see if anybody noticed and just run out there.
It was great. It was awesome. And then DeMarco and Dan Bailey got into it, and it was
– oh, yeah.
How about Weeden out-rushing DeMarco Murray?
That's just insane. I mean – oh my gosh, they got big time issues.
It was great though; it was a lot of fun. I mean, Weeden next 8 to 10 weeks. How are we feeling about that?
I am afraid for him. Last time he came in and played well, and they want similar duty. And then he played the next week against the Cardinals, who have a really good defense, and he struggled pretty mightily. So I'm cautiously optimistic. Now that he knows he's going to get a full run at it, he's going to be playing for, you know, 6, 7, 8 weeks. But I'm worried about, you know, teams being able to scheme for him, you know, going forward. So I'm cautiously optimistic, I guess, the way I should put it.
Yeah, it's I don't know. It's going to be really interesting. You know, he hasn't.
It sucks that Dez isn't there.
He hasn't.
You know?
Yeah, it does. He hasn't thrown an incomplete pass since last November. By the way, 12 straight. 12 completions.
12 in a row.
No, I think his issue, and I think he would agree with this, is that he's a great thrower. Like, he's a great passer. He's almost the perfect backup. Like, he's really good at golf. Like, he can come in for like a quarter, and like, if he's not thinking about it, just sling it around, you know, throw a couple touchdowns. But then it's almost like when you have a week to prepare, like, I don't know. I feel like that's where he's struggled, and maybe that's different this year. Hopefully that's different this year. I mean, he said it the other day. He hasn't had the same offensive coordinator 2 years in a row since seventh grade, which was like in the late 80s, I think. But
it's about 92.
But I'm hopeful. It does suck that they don't have Dez, though.
I mean, that's just what everyone wants to see, right? He never got to play with Dez at OSU. And I think, too, like, it just – the pro-style offense isn't what he does. Like, I would love for the Cowboys to let him, like, freelance a little.
Well,
run a little hurry up, just bring it back to the OSU days, run some four wides.
Yeah, why don't they do, like, what the Patriots or the Packers do, where they just
– like, Cole Beasley could be his Josh Cooper. Terrence Williams could try to be, like, Blackmon, you know, and I guess that makes who's Tracy Moore in this analogy? I don't even know who the
Jason Witten.
I guess Tracy Moore was a tight end in high school, so that counts.
Tracy Moore was.
It's kind of like Bradford getting the bad analogy now. I guess Bradford hasn't played worth a damn, but you know Bradford's been stuck in the Rams' power eye offense. Now he's finally getting to go to the spread. I'd like to see. We'd get to do that, but that's not what Dallas does. They're built around running the football. So
yeah, I don't understand, and I'm not smart enough to understand it, but I don't understand why teams in the NFL are so insistent on running this pro-style offense when it's like, I mean, look at the Patriots, and maybe I'm wrong about this. Maybe I'm just saying this because Brady lines up in shotgun, but it seems like they just they adapt to what he's able to do and what he's good at, and I don't know. I don't know why more teams don't do that.
Yeah, Brady threw for like 460 yards. They only ran the ball, I think, like 10 or 15 times total.
Well, they don't run the ball. I mean, the runs are like these 3-yard passes. That's a run.
They pick up guys from the, you know, the Canadian League to run the football. They don't need any running backs at all.
The Patriots are awesome. I mean, you and I share a love for number 12.
We're Team Brady, for sure.
They're just, I don't know.
I was looking up Brady's stats. And I got the autoplay. My bad.
They do a lot of things that are, well, I don't want this to like devolve into Deflategate and all that stuff, but they do things against the grain, and I appreciate that. I like that because as an Oklahoma State guy, I think that you've seen Gundy do that a lot, and it's worked, and it's fun, and it makes for a good experience.
Yeah, did we just compare Brady to Brandon Weeden?
I don't know. I don't know what we're doing right now.
Paul, and I have a random question for you. I was driving home today. And I saw a license plate with the – this is just a totally random question. I hope you go with it. A license plate with the flaming OSU brand logo. Is that the lowest point in OSU program history?
Yeah, it's not
the,
good.
The flaming brand.
I've got a.
Should they not round up all, like, have a will call, round up all those and burn them?
I've got an OU friend down here, one of my really good friends, actually. And every time we see, like, we're together and we see one of those, he's just like, bro, that's not good. Like, man, Ricky Fowler had it on his bag until, like, last year. It's like, we got to get that out of here. Like, let somebody get Ryan Cameron on the phone or something. Like, get that logo out of here.
Get it out of here.
Was it on... It was on the football field. Was it on the basketball court?
I don't think so. Did
like whose ideal? Like
did Ricky have Cowboys Forever on his bag too? The lyrics.
One of my this guy I follow on Twitter, who's just kind of a random fan that I met on there, but he's hilarious. The first game, the Central Michigan day, that Thursday morning. He tweeted and it just said, "Another Maverick morning begins."
Wait, I don't get it.
Like, that's the lyrics from.
Oh, is that one of the lyrics?
Yeah.
All I remember is prairie wind touches skin. That's all I remember.
That was the one. It was right before that. It was great.
That's funny.
Yeah.
That's a random thought I had. That's such like a truck stop logo. Like, just get it out of here.
Well, I don't understand who went to Nike or whoever you have to go to get logos changed and said, let's add fire to it. Like, what whose idea was that?
I'm sure it was on like a Chris's University Spirit shirt just randomly, and somebody from OSU saw it. I was like, yeah, yikes. New logo.
That's not good.
No, that's just a random thought I had.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Well, is there anything else about the game you want to talk about?
I thought the uniforms looked good, even though I'm so over white, orange, white. I like that helmet.
Yeah, it's a good.
That's one of their best helmets.
It was a good twist. Change it up. I feel like their uniforms this year have been great.
Yeah, I mean they've mixed it up. They haven't worn this something we've actually. I guess the first game they did, but yeah, it's been good so far. What do you think about Texas? Icy white helmets.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Although I don't know if you can change it up from what you've worn down there, which was
no,
I think
black, gonna wear black, white, black.
Yeah, black, white, black. Yeah. Texas is gonna be interesting. I mean, God, what a way to lose last week to Cal. Good grief, that is. I would be just catatonic if Oklahoma State did that in a national game like that.
That's missing an extra point's got to be the worst way to lose.
Oh man.
Which is why, like, I think every OSU fan, like. When they were watching Bedlam last year, when Grogan was lining up the chip shot,
gosh.
Like no one thought that was going in, did they? Well, like, everyone assumed they're going to snap it off the dude's head or something.
That was the one that the snap bounced or it hit the turf and
Kip Smith with a great hold.
Yeah,
I guess.
Kip Smith with the greatest catch in Bedlam history.
Wouldn't that have been the most OSU moment ever if they just screw that up?
I wouldn't. Yeah.
You don't want to talk about it.
I wouldn't.
It's okay.
I wouldn't have recovered. Was there any other games nationally that caught your attention? Ole Miss, Alabama. I didn't watch a ton. I kind of took Saturday night off, but I didn't get to see a ton of LSU. Leonard Fournette. How good is he?
I just saw the vines and the gifts, and that was pretty incredible. He's got to be the Heisman front runner.
Carnage. He's definitely the Heisman front runner.
I didn't get to watch a ton either. I worked early the OSU game and then drove back and then went out and didn't get to watch a whole lot. So
Ohio State struggled.
Yeah, it's NIU.
I feel like they are. It's. I mean, as great as it sounds to have two elite quarterbacks, like it's not really that great. Because it's just no matter how good each of your quarterbacks is, it can turn into a mess.
Yep, and me and you were both JT Barrett supporters. I think we were right on that one. One thing I did notice this weekend, TCU and Baylor aren't as good as we thought they are. They're not top five teams, in my opinion.
Like, no, yeah.
Baylor struggled with Lamar. They were like tied at halftime or something, and TCU – I think we all can agree SMU is a lot better with this Chad Morris guy from Clemson. They're better on offense, but TCU and Baylor struggle with SMU. I don't think they're nearly as good, especially on defense, as we thought they were going to be.
Yeah, I agree. And Texas Tech is better than we thought. Kicked Bielema in his ass.
Oh, man, that was special. Like, Bielema, I just don't think running the the power Wisconsin game was going to work in the SEC if you coach Arkansas.
Did you see the clip of Kingsbury talking about it too?
Yeah.
Like it was very like matter of fact. Like he was just like, yeah, kicked his ass.
Like Kingsbury is not like, he's not what you think he is. Like you think, oh, this guy's so cool. Like he's got to be a fun. He's a very like boring quote. He's super serious.
He's
like,
Ricky Fowler. Fun. He's the Ricky Fowler of college football coaches.
Yeah, like he's not fun at all.
Yeah, he's not like broed out and like.
No, like
yeah.
He showed up to media day and he was the only coach that didn't give an opening statement. He was like, "Nah, I'm good." I was like, "This guy sucks." This guy's not fun at all. But he has that reputation. Oh, he wears his frog skin sunglasses. He's so cool. But he did kick some ass, so you gotta get some credit.
I did like that he got in a little pro A&M deal at the end. He said they've gotten their ass kicked 2 weeks in a row. Probably will next week against A&M.
Yeah. Well, him and Sumlin are boys, so that makes sense.
If you were playing in the Big 12, like if just imagine if one of us was good enough to play Big 12 football, which coach do you think you would want to play for?
Oh, man. Do you have your answer?
No, I don't. I usually try to ask questions and don't.
This is probably not the right time to say it with all the crap going on down there, but I'd love to play for Art Briles.
Oh gosh,
he's awesome.
Yeah,
he's everything Cliff is not.
Art Briles is like Gundy unhinged. Like yes. He's just like a little bit more off the rails than Gundy is.
At Big 12 Media Days, he has like the media in the palm of his hand. Like he's so great.
Yeah.
So it's probably the worst time I could possibly say that answer with all the crap that's going on down there. But I'd probably. Art Briles or Dana would be fun, but I think Dana might scare me a little bit. He might yell at me too much.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
Dana might have too many Red Bulls and just go off on me if I miss my assignment.
I feel like Stoops wouldn't be that fun because he seems a little bit distant, just being at a big-time program and stuff.
Yeah, I think he's a lot different behind closed doors. Like if you see some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, he just seems a lot different.
Yeah, I think – I mean, this is such a – it's a stupid answer because it's a homer answer. I think Gundy would be fun. Like,
yeah, no, he would be up there for sure.
He's pretty weird. He's kind of, like, just random. And I had a high school baseball coach who was a lot like that. Like, great coach. Said just, like, the most random stuff that kind of made sense but not really. And, like, it was a lot of fun to play for. And I think Gundy understands how to coach individuals – and how to get the most out of the guys you need to get the most out of. And I feel like he's really good at that. So I guess that's my answer. That's a dummy. I think Charlie Strong would be not that bad also.
Yeah, I you could tell the players just love Gundy. So that's a good – what number would you wear, Kyle? Because that's what Gundy would call you. Yeah, 7 wasn't real good today. He said that about Jeremy Seaton after the game on Saturday. He's like, yeah, 44. Just doesn't want to score. I don't know what he's doing. And he's like, you know, 19 would kick better.
Yeah, I'd probably be something like, yeah, like 17 or something bad, like a bad number. Like I'd probably be like 43. Well, because I wouldn't play. Like they just give me like 43 and be like, yeah. Enjoy your locker, you know.
You get the long snapper number. It's always like 53 or
yeah.
something.
Yeah, 57. Okay, Carson, we should get going. Do we want to tease the guests that we have on Thursday?
Absolutely. Go ahead and do that.
Yeah, Zach Robinson will join us for a couple minutes on the podcast. Should be fun.
Tweet us anything you want us to ask Zach too, because we're going to go down some memory lane here with him, I'm sure.
Yeah, we can ask you can ask him about your boy or about our boy Brady.
Oh yeah, I want all the Tom Brady stories. I want all the stories about after a big win being under the neon palm trees at Murphy's. I want it all.
Do you think that Brady ever gave Zach a pair of Uggs?
I think the question is how many pairs?
How many styles?
He probably gave him the lounge ones, the snow ones, and whatever the hell else they have.
I was on, I don't know, some Big Lead or Deadspin or something the other day, and the ads on there are driven by the websites that you visit, you know, in the past, which is really creepy and weird. There was an ad for a pair of man Uggs on there, and I don't know. I mean, it couldn't have picked up, like, I don't know. Actually, you know what? Somebody emailed me about it, about our conversation in the podcast, and said, I've got a pair of Uggs. They're awesome. And so I'm sure, I bet that's what it picked up, and it showed.
And so you're looking at the thing. How does this know that I've been talking about Tom and his Uggs?
Yeah, it was super creepy. It was weird.
Oh man, that's funny.
So okay, well, we will talk to you later on, Carson. Thursday actually with Zach Robinson should be fun.
Sounds good, man.
Okay, bye.